With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I don't know if you are expecting me to answer it this way or not, because the answer is it absolutely motivated me. I absolutely wanted to prove everybody wrong. And so it really was kind of like a blessing in disguise, because I really wanted to prove them wrong, and I did.
In December 2022, I had the pleasure of recording with Bernie Borges on his show, the Midlife Fulfilled podcast. In that conversation, we focused on my personal moments of self-discovery. And in this week's episode, you'll hear him mention how my episode of his show made him think more deeply about specific moments in his life. Bernie is a great example of how dedication and perseverance can help you get where you want to go, even when the odds are against you. He was born the only kid of Cuban immigrants in Queens, New York, and through sheer will, he was able to finish his bachelor's degree and pay for it all by himself while also working full-time. This was a huge milestone in his life, and it changed his outlook, making him realize that anything is possible if you put your mind to it. He emphasizes the importance of having a plan, staying focused on it, and being open to opportunities that may lead to success. I'd like to give a big thank you to Tracy, Mickey, and Emily for sponsoring two episodes of the show each month. And if you'd like to check out the awesome options that I have on our Patreon feed and help support the show, please visit www.thelifeshiftpodcast.com/join. I really appreciate any support they can offer for the show. And with that, I'm happy to share this new episode of the Life Shift Podcast with my guest, Bernie Borges. I'm Matt Gilhooly, and this is The Life Shift, candid conversations about the pivotal moments that have changed lives forever. Hello, my friends. Welcome to the Life Shift podcast. I am here with a recent connection, Bernie. Hi, Bernie.
Hi, Matt.
I recently had the pleasure of being on Bernie's podcast, the Midlife Fulfilled podcast, and that came out in December of 2022. And it's always interesting to go back and listen to what we recorded, because as Bernie knows, most of us podcasters work a little bit ahead of time just for our own sanity's sake. Would you say so?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So we're recording this in December, and I've recorded through the end of February.
I'm about the same. So when you're listening to this, we recorded this way last year. It was so last year when we recorded this. But Bernie was generous enough to say that he wanted to join the Life Shift podcast and talk about a pivotal moment that kind of he created in his life and something that probably helped define the rest of your life once you realized that this was the moment. And I don't want to give it away yet. I don't want to give that secret away. But I wonder, before we talk about it, when we talked about my show on your show, did that cause you to start kind of diving deep into your life and start thinking about, was there a moment in my life?
Yeah. So as we were discussing actually before we started recording, Matt, the big takeaway for me after we did the recording and then my process is I go in and I listen to it intently. And I ask myself, okay, what's my big takeaway here? What's my big lesson? And the big takeaway for me was this concept of self-discovery. And what I concluded, because I'm a little bit older than you, right? I'm in my 60s specifically. I'm 65. And by the way, I lean into that. I have age pride, not age shame. But I think back on, you know, the decades, the seasons I've been through, and when I listen to your story on the Midlife Fulfilled podcast, the concept I took away from that was self-discovery. And I realized that I've actually been through self-discovery multiple times. And look, I don't think that I'm unique in any way, shape, or form. If I've been through self-discovery many times, I think probably millions of other people have also been through a self-discovery journey multiple times in their life as well.
To credit you, that's a lot of what your conversations are on your podcast, is that, you know, midlife isn't necessarily midlife, right? You have many different seasons that you're kind of transforming. And mine took me a certain amount of time to get to where I feel the most fulfilled that I've ever felt in my entire life. And as you mentioned, we were talking a little bit before the recording, and I found that sometimes when people listen to these episodes, they're like, oh, I should start thinking about my life and kind of discovering those moments, because maybe we don't realize them at the time when they're happening. And then we look back and we're like, oh, I did that for myself, or I created that world for myself. I appreciate you being a part of this. And so, you know, let's just kick it off. Can you paint the picture of what your life was like kind of leading up to that shift that you feel really kind of defined a lot of things after?
Well, the common thing that I discovered in your story that we have in common is that my life shift goes back to my childhood. Not for the same reason. You, of course, experienced a tragic loss of your mom when you were 8 years old, and that was a life shift moment for you. So that wasn't the specific circumstance for me. But for me, in my childhood, there were a few things that were going on that really contribute to the fact that I didn't have confidence in myself when I was a young boy. Okay, I lacked confidence. And it starts with the fact that I was an only child. And I grew up in New York City, and I grew up in Queens. And so there's families all around us. And every single family had multiple kids. We were the only family where I was the only child. And I had a little bit of a complex around that, man. I felt a little inferior, right or wrong. I just did. And then one day, I remember having a conversation with my dad. My parents they're both deceased now. They were Cuban immigrants and, you know, working class parents. And my dad, in a conversation with me, I probably was around 10 or 12 years old, somewhere in that age range. I don't remember exactly, you know, the exact age. But I remember him saying to me once, and I'm going to paraphrase because I don't remember it verbatim, but I remember the what we discussed. The gist of the conversation was, he said to me, he said, look, I didn't have an opportunity to get an education. He said, I wish I did. If I had the opportunity to have an education, I would have jumped at it. Again, my words, not his words. I don't think he would have used words like that. And he said to me, and man, I remember this vividly. He said, you know, with an education, you could work for the sanitation department in the office, in a managerial role, maybe even running the whole thing. But if you don't have an education, you can still work for the sanitation department, but in a different role, maybe outside, you know, as one of the workers outside. No, there's no disrespect in that. He says, the difference is an education gives you the potential to have more options. And so he made that impression on me because he was neglected the opportunity from an economic standpoint. He just couldn't go to school beyond a certain age. I think he had like an eighth grade education before he had to go to work. So it instilled in me this value of, I want an education, but because I lacked confidence, I really didn't know how I was going to do that, particularly since I wouldn't say we were poor, Matt, but they were not really, my parents were not in a position to say, okay, where do you want to go to school and we'll send you. But I did start researching colleges and universities, and I start to sort of dream big, way bigger than I possibly could do. I started thinking about universities outside of New York. Again, I was, you know, born and raised in New York City, and I was thinking about universities like UCLA and other universities around the country. So I realized that that just wasn't reality. So when the time came, when I was of age, I ended up going to a local community college. And by that time, I was already working part-time. And because community college was relatively cheap, I paid for that myself. I told my parents, I said, look, I'm not going to put the burden on you. I'm going to start out at, you know, local community college and then see what happens. And I put my 2 years in a local community college. And then I set my sights on a university in New York City called Pace University. Good school, you know, probably not a nationally acclaimed school, but within New York City, it's known. It's well known, especially in the finance community. So private university, not a local community college, you know, different tuition level. I went into Manhattan and I applied for a sales position, and I got a sales position with a company selling technical training. You know, it was really a blessing because pretty much right away, when I say right away, I mean, you know, quickly moving into that sales role, Matt, I started doing well, and, you know, they paid generous commissions. So as a young person, I was all of like 20 years old, you know, I was making decent money for that age. And so I decided that I would go to Pace University. Well, I applied, I got in, I decided that I would go there and complete my bachelor's degree at night. Now, Matt, here's the thing. I was in a sales environment that was inside. So it was, you know, 20, 30 salespeople, all of us young, you know, all of us in our 20s. I was in my early 20s. And so when you have a group of young people, there's a lot of friendships that happen, right? There's a lot of, you know, camaraderie. And all my friends were teasing me when I announced that I'm going to, you know, go to Pace University at night and, you know, go for my bachelor's degree. And they're all like, yeah, Bernie, you're not going to do that. You know, that's just way too much work. And they literally just thought I wouldn't do it. And also my mom said the same thing. She's like, Bernie, you're going to go to school at night. There's no way you're going to finish, right? Because it's a long journey. So if I fast forward, the life shift moment for me was, if I fast forward 5 years later of going to school at night for 12 months out of the year. So fall session, spring session, summer session one, summer session two, Labor Day weekend, fall semester all over again at night in my early 20s. When, what do you do when you're in your early 20s? You like to enjoy life.
Well, plus you were making a big old salary too, which, you know, I want to pause there for a second before you get into that. Is part of me thinks, you know, there are a lot of people that in their early 20s get a big salary and they're, I don't know if the word stupid is a good word to use, but they have money so they can do all sorts of things and they can spend all sorts of money. And you probably, based on that conversation with your father, or did that always come up? Like when you were thinking, when your buddies at the workplace were like, hey, let's go out and do this. Did that conversation with your dad that you had like 10 years earlier kind of play in your head?
What it did for me is it laid a conviction deep in my soul of getting that bachelor's degree, because my dad was deprived of the opportunity and I was creating the opportunity. Now, I consider myself lucky. I mean, his circumstance is different. He grew up in Cuba and it was economically, he just was not in a position to do it. I was living in New York City where I had this university just at my disposal, right outside my front door. Not literally, but you know what I mean. All I had to do is go to work because I had a decent job where I had a decent income and I was able to afford to do it. I just had to put the work in. And so my dad really instilled in me the value of the education and the work ethic. He was a hardworking man, so he instilled in me that work ethic. So even though I had my friends tugging at me, hey, Bernie, we're going out drinking. You know, why don't you come along? I've got school. Blow school off. That conviction inside of me trumped everything.
It's interesting to me because, I mean, I feel like there's got to be something else that your parents also instilled in you. This, I mean, you said work ethic and this idea that you can have things that your parents weren't able to have because of the circumstances and the situations that they were in. But the traditional 20-something year old is so like, buck the system, you know, just I don't want to follow things that are hard. So good for you for just like jumping into a night school, because what'd you work 8 to 5 and then, or like 8 to 4 and then go to class from 5 to 9 every night?
Yeah, pretty much. But remember at the beginning of this conversation, Matt, I shared with you that I lacked confidence when I was younger. So when I say younger, I mean, you know, childhood years, right? So now I'm an early adult now in this part of the story, right? But in my childhood years, I lacked confidence. And so what this, first of all, I got a boost in confidence when I got accepted to Pace University. While it's not a Harvard, it's still a private university. So I got in. That alone was like, okay, check, I'm in. But now I had to, you know, do the work. I had to put the work in and, you know, complete my degree, which was a long journey. And at the time, it did feel like a forever thing because, you know, going, and I was 24 when I graduated. So again, five years of just nonstop, 12 months a year. That, and here's where the life shift moment comes in, except that it wasn't really a moment in time, like as in a day, like you had a day with a tragic event in your life when you were 8 years old. So it wasn't a moment, but it was when I graduated, when I finished, I just looked at that and went, wow, I really did this. I really did this. And I use this word a lot. It's another F word. I have a lot of F words in my life. There's fulfillment, there's faith, there's family, there's fun, there's fitness. And now this F word is foundational. That when I accomplished that, it gave me a foundation of confidence that I said, okay, if I can accomplish this, then if I really want something, then I can accomplish it, you know? And it gave me the confidence to go chase after things. And it also gave me the confidence, Matt, to not be afraid to fail. In this case, I didn't fail. I graduated. But it gave me the confidence throughout the forthcoming seasons after that to just kind of go after things. Not too long after that, it was a year or two, maybe just a year later, I applied for a job. Now, again, I've shared with you my age. So this is back in the days where you looked in the paper, the newspaper, for jobs.
circle in the classifieds?
Yeah. So I found a job that was listed in the paper. It was a sales role for a big company. And I applied. And so I got called for the interview. When I went in for the first interview, I was told that I was one out of 112 people, candidates, that they invited in for an interview. And I remember thinking to myself at the end of the interview, like, I think I did pretty well, but one out of 112. So I had like this voice on one side of my head saying, one out of 112, that's not a good odd. I had this other voice saying, you did pretty well in that interview. Well, guess what? I was one of two hired. So two of us out of the 112 got offers. So again, it just... that foundation, that life shift moment, if you will, you know, if we can stretch the meaning of moment, was by completing my undergraduate, which again, remember, I funded it myself. That was another confidence boost. Like not one nickel was from my parents. And not that they were unwilling, they were unable, right? And I, of course, never held that against them. It's not their fault.
You say that there's not really a moment, but I mean, when did that come to you? Because I bet it wasn't like you were thinking this the whole time, right? Was there a moment, like if we're digging down to it, when you were like, holy crap, I just did this? Like walking across the stage, did you graduate? Did you get a degree in the mail? Anything like that?
No, I did walk. I did walk, right? I did go to the graduation ceremony and I did it for my parents because it was a very proud moment for them. And so because it was a long journey and it felt like forever at the time, I would have to say that the moment was on that graduation ceremony day. We have a picture somewhere, which, you know, in those days, pictures were, you know, on print, right? Not digital. So, you know, we have that picture, we have that moment. So I think it was that day where I just realized, even though as I was getting closer and closer, I was like, okay, I'm really going to do this. I'm really going to do this. You know, like, so it was beginning to sink in, but yeah, the ceremony was definitely a big moment because I saw how proud my parents were, and I knew that it was going to be foundational for me.
Yeah, I could also say that, you know, like I think when I was done with one of my degrees, that first morning that I didn't have to wake up, or like that first evening that you didn't have to like truck your way to class, was probably like, wow, this is quite, I did it, I finished this. I can't believe it. I'm wondering, and I think maybe I'm projecting and putting a little bit of myself in here, but did any of the naysayers, which would include your coworkers and even in the story, your mom, did that push you at all? Or did that add any doubt? Or did that affect you in any way when they were like, you can't do this or you're not going to do this?
I don't know if you are expecting me to answer it this way or not, because the answer is it absolutely motivated me. I absolutely wanted to prove everybody wrong. And so it really was kind of like a blessing in disguise, because I really wanted to prove them wrong. And I did.
I mean, I kind of see those moments also in my life in which I've done things like that, but it's almost like a forced confidence boost, right? Because you're kind of, I want to prove that I can do this, but also I'm doing it. And therefore I have confidence that I can do it again. And so it's like you said, a blessing in disguise. I've had many moments in my life where someone's like, you can't do that. Or like, yeah, I mean, even with this podcast, like you can't, there's a million podcasts out there, you know, and I'll show you. So, you know, lucky for you that, well, I guess, do you think if everyone was like, yeah, do it, you can do it, do you think there would be anything different?
Oh, I think so. It's I was listening to a podcast. It's actually out on a YouTube channel, but I listen to it like a podcast because there's nothing to watch. From Earl Nightingale, who's an OG back from, you know, how many decades ago? I don't know how many decades ago, many decades ago. And he was talking about the importance of attitude, and that attitude is the single biggest factor in the difference between being successful and not successful. However you want to define success. Attitude is top of the chart. And it reminds me of an expression. I didn't know it at the time when I was going through that journey of putting myself through college at night. But this expression I've since learned, and I repeat this often. I share this with many people whenever it's relevant in a conversation. And it goes like this. Well, you've probably heard it. And that is, if you believe you can, you're right. And if you believe you can't, you're right. That's attitude.
If everyone believed in you, do you think you would have believed in yourself as well? Because I know you started out as a child with a lower confidence level. And so if everyone believed in you, I'm thinking of myself here. I'm putting myself in these shoes of, I think if people didn't believe in me, I would be more inclined to try to do it. Are you similar? Or do you think that would change?
Here's the irony. The fact that I had so many doubters motivated me to accomplish what I accomplished. But if I had everybody believing in me, I also would have been motivated, because then I wouldn't want to let them down. In fact, you know, fast forward to 2008, I wrote a book because I made the mistake one time of very hastily, very almost matter of fact, spontaneously, without a lot of deep thought, announcing that I'm going to write a book, right? I had given a presentation somewhere, and a lot of people came up to me afterwards and said, you should write a book. You've got a book in those slides. And I went home and went, yeah, you know, I'm going to write a book. And I started telling people about it. And then all of a sudden I'm like, uh-oh, now I have to do this. So this whole pressure of not letting people down, or even letting myself down because other people are expecting me to accomplish or finish something, you know?
Was there a fear, and I don't mean to be offensive at all here, was there a fear that if you didn't do this, you might be at the level of your parents and what they were afforded and able to do?
Yes, but from the following perspective, Matt, and that's a great question. It would have been disappointing, because what my dad made crystal clear to me was that he didn't have the opportunity. I had the opportunity. And so the fear would have been blowing it, you know, not taking advantage. I'm not even sure that's the way I want to frame it, but, you know, just missing out on an opportunity that was available to me, even though I had to work hard for it. But hey, that's another huge, you know, life lesson, is like, life is full of hard work, right? And if you're afraid of hard work, well, then you're going to have a hard time in life, right? Because life's full of hard work. So yeah, I feared the missed opportunity that was in front of me.
Right. And I would imagine that also attaches to letting your parents down in that capacity, or your father, in the sense that, you know, he did all he could with what was available to him. You have more opportunities available to you. You need to take some of those. I want to go back to a point where you said, you know, you graduated, you felt very confident in what you were doing. It's leading you down this direction. But you also said that it made you, and you didn't say fearless, but it made you not afraid of failing. What part of that, like, had you failed before and then became successful from, or learned from that? Or like, where did that part come from in your journey?
Yeah, I think it came from the fact that I realized, not just in that season of my life, but even as I just continued to grow and mature and evolve, I realized that lacking confidence was unwarranted, because I was able to do things that I just didn't give myself credit for having the ability to do. So for example, in college was the first time that I ever stood in front of an audience to give a speech. As a child, I wouldn't have had the confidence to do that. But in college, I had to do it. And then I realized that, A, it's not so bad. You know, a lot of people fear public speaking. It wasn't so bad. So not only was it not so bad, but I was okay at it. You know, I did a decent job. And now, you know, fast forward years into my career, I've been public speaking now for decades. And I feel weird because I don't even get nervous. I have no butterflies when I get in front of an audience. And the biggest audience I've ever spoken in front of is 1,000 people. And I had zero butterflies, which almost makes me feel weird. But it all started in college. And so I just began to realize that my lack of confidence was unwarranted. And then fast forward just a year after college, the story I told you, I was one out of 112 people who interviewed, one out of two who got the job, right? Which was another boost to my confidence, right? And, you know, I say this and I realize that folks who are listening, I guess they could watch this on YouTube, but I say this from a place of humility. And all I'm saying is that, you know, I think everybody can benefit from confidence. Whatever level of confidence is important to them and meaningful to them. And all I'm saying is that this life shift moment laid that foundation for me, back to that F word of foundation, right? It laid that foundation for me that I was able to build on. And I can look back on it and just see how foundational and pivotal and life shifting it was for me.
I know on your podcast, you have an episode, I think you talked to Dan Pink, right? About like no regrets. So that leads me, and in it, you talk about, you know, all the things that we do, we shouldnldn't regret because we learn from them. And every day is a new opportunity to make a mistake and learn from it. With that no fear of failure, because you know you can continue on, have you had a giant failure or something big that's made an impact on you?
So I've had a few failures along the way. I think I mentioned to you when we recorded your episode on my Midlife Fulfilled podcast, the concept of the failure resume, which Dan Pink shared with me, right? So Dan Pink, for your listener, is a New York Times bestselling author. And his most recent book, I think it's his fifth book, is called The Power of Regret. Awesome book. I really recommend everybody read it because we all have regrets in life. The concept of the failure resume is to, you know, write the things down that you failed at and what you learned from them. So to your question, Matt, yeah, I've had, you know, multiple failures, some bigger than others. You know, there's a few that I can think of. I remember I made an investment that was a significant investment, five figures, that, you know, just went to zero. That was painful. I had my own business for 15 years. During that 15-year run, there's a few things that I attempted to do that didn't work, right? So they were failures. Some of them, like one of them was a fail forward moment. So I don't know if you saw the picture I posted on Instagram where My podcast initially started out as a digital television show. I invested in building a set in a studio. It was really cool. I was excited about it. I recorded three episodes that were, you know, like kind of like a television show where I interviewed someone, right? But that was a failure. I pivoted to audio podcast. That was actually, it was a fail forward, you know, I don't know about a moment, but because for a while I got caught up in like the dream, the vision of like, hey, you know, create this digital TV show. And I built the studio. I worked with somebody. I spent a few thousand dollars on it, you know, but it was a fail forward thing. I just, you know, as I said in that post, like sometimes you have to really not be afraid to fail. It's kind of like the whole power of regret, you know, then what do you learn from it? But I wouldn't say anything is monumental, like gigantic, just a lot of little ones and some a little bit bigger than the little ones.
And I don't really ask that to point out like where we went wrong, but it ties back to the foundation that you built and the confidence that you had when you graduated and you self-funded your own your own educational experience, and you did what others were saying, you'll never finish that. It's too long. It's going to take forever. It's going to be draining 12 months a year kind of thing. And so I always think about how does that attach to when in life, things don't quite go the way that we want them to. Do you see them in the moment as a learning experience, or are you like me and like your world feels like it's just collapsed for a little bit?
I think I've always viewed anything, any experience as a learning experience, because if I go way back to that season of life where at a young age, I was putting myself through college, self-funding it, doing the 12-month a year thing. And so, I think I've always viewed any experience that I've had, good or bad, as a learning experience, because I learned, no pun intended, I learned that if I look at it any other way, if I look at it as a like, oh, my world is crumbling, you know, I'm terrible, I'm a loser and all that, then it's going to be one of those like, well, if you believe you can, you're right. And if you believe you can't, you're right. And I probably have more of the, I believe you can't than can. And I think I just didn't want to allow myself to go there, Matt. That's the thing, is I didn't want to allow myself to go there. It was very important for me to give my parents pride. And it's not about material things or anything like that, but just for them to see that I've got a good work ethic that they instilled in me, and that I've worked hard in whatever I have achieved. I did it through hard work, and whatever failures I had along the way were just lessons learned.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I don't think majority of people are as practical as that. And I do think that your upbringing created that in you, you know, through seeing your parents work really hard with what they had and what opportunities were available to them and the situations that they got themselves out of and the situations that they've created for you. I think that probably laid that first the pea gravel under your foundation, right? Like that's going to allow you to pour the concrete on top to kind of really build a nice stable life afterwards. Because I think, especially as Americans, you know, a lot of us see certain things, and if it doesn't go our way, out of our fault or not, we kind of crumble or we don't take our responsibility in that. So I think it's admirable. I don't know a lot of people that approach situations in that way. So I think a lot of it probably, I don't know, you can tell me no, but I think a lot of it comes from seeing your parents and what your parents, one, were born into, what they had to experience, and then them coming to America and you know, creating the life that they did for you.
So I would agree with you. So I'm gonna use a phrase I use a lot, and that's yes and. So in addition to the inspiration that I got from my parents and, of course, the values that they instilled in me, it's also just the surrounding that I grew up in. I mentioned that I grew up in Queens, and by and large, the neighborhood that I grew up in was a working-class neighborhood. And so I saw families all around me where both of the parents in most cases were working. And I was just exposed to an environment in New York City, also in a different time, right? I'm going back to 60s and 70s now, where life wasn't easy. It was very competitive. There was an element of crime that, you know, you're looking over your shoulder all the time in New York City. You know, I remember more than once walking home from the subway, you know, feeling threatened, you know, and nervous just about getting home safely. So life wasn't easy. Everything came hard. So I just had this attitude from my childhood years of like, I'm going to have to work hard to get whatever I want. And then the education was a big part of that because of the value that my dad instilled in me about an education. But it wasn't limited to education. It was just anything in general, because life wasn't easy. It was hard. And so I think it's everything. It's that whole surrounding as well as just my own household, my own upbringing.
Yeah. I mean, where you came from, I think there's people that had different experiences in the same time period that maybe took things for granted. And, you know, they could go to any school they wanted to because their parents were going to pay for it and they didn't care. Right. I think that, I mean, I talked to other people on the show that some of these struggles that we have, whether we see them as struggles or not, you know, they're just different experiences. I think they make us stronger humans. You know, in my situation, I wouldn't wish it on anyone that their mother dies when they're a kid. But the things that I've learned about humanity, about myself, about the world around me, I'm grateful for, despite the experience, right? And I wouldn't have had, my life would be very, very different if I grew up with my mother and not with my father and, you know, and figuring that out in another state, in another place. So, you know, I think there's something to be said about these struggles that we have to go through. I think it makes us want to fight harder. It makes us want to do more things and to have more confidence and to have the things that we didn't have.
Yeah. And I mentioned to you, and I think it was before we started recording, that your episode on my podcast really inspired me to think about self-discovery and how your journey brought you to your own self-discovery journey. And it really made me think about my own self-discovery journey. And I realized that my self-discovery journey dates back to, or is rooted in, my childhood, like yours, for different reasons, but it's rooted in my childhood. And so, you know, even talking out loud about this part of my life, which was, you know, 40 years ago for me, Matt, it just, you know, gives me even more reason to understand that self-discovery journey that I've been on. And I would argue that, you know, I think we go through self-discovery journeys multiple times in our life, depending on, you know, the seasons, the circumstances, and so forth. You know, I have you to thank for sharing that story that really heightened the awareness for me of A, the fact that we all go through self-discovery journeys, and B, just the importance of really thinking about them and being self-aware of them.
I think there's power in telling our stories, and you never know what portion of your story will affect someone. And that's kind of what I love about this show and what you do on your show, is that we can come on and think we're going to talk about one thing, but someone may be listening and they're going to pull out this one random sentence you said, you know, way back when, and connect to that, and makes them think, oh, how do I relate to this? So speaking of relate, you're a family man, you have children, or you've had children and they're not children anymore. How do you see your childhood, then this building confidence period of your life, how did that affect you as a father? Like, how did that affect your the way you parented your children?
Yeah, absolutely. It well, first of all, you know, my wife was my partner, so it was not something that I singularly did. But, you know, as parents, what we both did was we were fortunate that we were able to financially give them opportunities from a very young age to get involved in activities like gymnastics for my daughter and soccer for my son and all these other activities that would give them the opportunity to understand their own abilities and build their own confidence, as well as instill in them a work ethic. You know, both graduated from college with good grades. They didn't have to pay for it. So my son graduated from UCF, which is in your backyard, and my daughter graduated from Florida State in Tallahassee, and we did the prepaid program. But they put the work in, and they're both gainfully employed and thriving and doing great. But from an early age, we gave them opportunities, and that's really what it comes down to. We never forced them to do anything. We just gave them opportunities, and they were able to build confidence and then build on that.
Yeah, so it stems back to when you said you were, you know, a young child with the lack of confidence. Do you think that lack of confidence was because you didn't have opportunities to show it when you were a kid?
I think, and I wrote this in the blog post. I think it stems from me being an only child, and here's what I said in the blog post, Matt. So I'm going to say it here on the podcast. I don't really know why that's the case. I can't explain that. Other than the fact that all around me were families with multiple kids, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 kids in a family, right? All around me. And I was an only child. I don't know if I want to use the word inadequate. Of course, you know, not that it's my fault. And it wasn't my parents' fault either. I mean, they eventually told me, not as a kid, but eventually they told me that they just never conceived again. It's not like they weren't trying. They just never got pregnant again, you know? So, but I felt, again, I don't know if inadequate's the right word or not. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I don't really know, but it was just something about that made me feel like less than them. And at a young age, it affected me. It affected my confidence. And then eventually when I started to build some confidence, it made me, and I'm sorry to be repetitive here, but it made me realize that my lack of confidence was unwarranted. That was the huge light bulb for me.
It's interesting because I am an only child as well. And
oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I don't know that I ever noticed that, but I think I didn't notice that because I noticeably did not have a mother. So I think that may be why I didn't notice the other part, right? Because my family was already broken in that sense. When you said, I don't know if inadequate is the right word, that was the word that was in my head. So I think it's not a reasonable word, but I think it maybe is how you felt. You know, I think, I don't know that that's, like you said, I don't know if it's the right word, but, and I don't think it's warranted either, but I guess, you know, I guess it's, we're naturally as humans, we compare. And if our family isn't as full as the one next door, whether that's good or bad, we don't match up. And so then is there something wrong with me? Why don't I have all these siblings? You know, we don't understand this as kids, but it's very interesting to think about. And maybe that's the trigger of like, maybe I'm going to, after this recording, go down that rabbit hole of how did being an only child. I do know that being an only child still trickles into things that I do now. And I don't know if this is the same for you, and this is totally off topic, but as an only child, I don't like games, like board games, like playing games with people. I don't like it.
I don't either.
I don't want to say that I'm selfish, because I'm not. I do like to do things for others and help others, but I also do have a little bit of, that's mine. Like, sharing is not my best quality. But there's that, and it's always like, I know that's because I didn't have to. Growing up, I had all my own stuff. I didn't have to play games with people. I played games by myself. And so it's interesting to think about, too, how being an only child does affect you, even when you're, you know, out in the grown-up world with all these adult people around you. Do you have any of those?
No, I mean, other than the fact that I also don't like to play board games, they bore me, no pun intended. Although my family likes to play board games, so I have participated, and I put on a smile, but inside I'm not enjoying myself. But anyway, I really haven't thought about it in recent decades. I mean, this was early in my life that I was kind of dealing with this little hang up, if you will, you know. But once it's kind of like I came out of my shell. You know, if we were to just kind of fast forward to this part of the podcast, like, I came out of my shell. Once I realized that my lack of confidence was unwarranted, I just blossomed, you know, in terms of doing things that in the past I didn't think I was capable of. And then I realized that I am. And then I just started to, you know, the job that I had where I was doing well, you know, in sales, you know, paying for college, I had my own apartment, you know, completing my college and all that. And so I just realized that I could do things I really wanted to do. And it just, I came out of my shell.
Have you done anything in your life that surprises you that you think about now? Like, oh my gosh, besides, you know, that foundational period since then, because now sky's the limit. Is there anything in your life that you were like, or that your parents were just blown away before they passed?
I mean, maybe writing the book, because that was also an experience where I could have easily started it and then quit, because, you know, I had my own business, so I was working full time in my own business, and then writing the book sort of in my quote unquote spare time, which I got done in under a year, about 10 months or so. And then I remember when I physically handed the book to my parents, they were blown away by that. You know, they couldn't understand it. It's a book on marketing. It's a book on social media marketing back in 2009 when social media was still fairly new. So they didn't know anything about it, but it was a pride moment for them. Like, you know, I have
your name's in print.
Yeah. And then, you know, I mentioned briefly speaking. I've done a fair amount of speaking over the decades. And so back in college, speaking to a class of 20 people is one thing, but standing on a stage at a conference in front of a couple of hundred people, or that one event where I was in front of 1,000 people, and, you know, being invited back and that sort of thing. So those are things that are accomplishments. And then eventually having my own business, which I ran for 15 years. Now, in the end, it wasn't successful. I didn't sell it or anything like that. But hey, for 15 years, I had my own business, you know? So in that regard, yeah.
Do you ever look back and think about your accomplishments and the milestones and how it relates to how it made your parents feel?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest one, honestly, Matt, is the fact that I had a wife and two kids. I don't want to leave my wife out of it, right? Because I can't have kids without my wife. So, and you know, we were living in California. So I grew up in New York. I moved to California in my mid-20s. So after that college graduation season.
Because you could.
Because I could, exactly. And then I met my wife out there. We got married out there. And then we moved to here to Florida. And my parents were already living in Florida, but they were living 3 hours away. We convinced them to move near us. And we started having, you know, our two kids. By the way, at the time of this recording, they're 32 and 26. So again, full-fledged adults on their own with their own families. But my parents having close proximity to us, meaning their grandkids, that was their dream come true. And they enjoyed many years before they passed with my kids. They watched them grow up mostly, you know, through about high school-ish, you know? So that was probably the biggest sense of pride for them.
I mean, all of my questions seem to be coming or stemming from my own selfish experience. I feel like as a kid, you know, both of us feeling the only child, feeling similar, but because of different things, a lot of the accomplishments that I had throughout my life were because people thought I wasn't going to do it because my mom died, you know, and I wonder, and that's why I ask, you know, like some of the things I did because I wanted my family to be proud and understand that I could do it. You know, because they thought I wasn't going to be able to, or they thought it was going to be a wreck, you know, like my life, I was going to be, you know, on the streets or something, because we didn't know. Nobody really knew. And so that's really where that question came from. But I can see how expanding your family for them is really like the ultimate dream come true, and yeah, being able to see them and do that.
Yeah.
You gave me a lot to think about and how certain things are attached and paying for yourself through college or finding your way through it. I think a lot of people can relate to that in different ways. Like myself, I had my dad at one point said, if you want to go to school, you're going to have to find a way to do it. And because in the same sense, he did not have the capacity at the time to send me to school. He would help me where he could, but it was definitely not going to be in the tuition sense. So for me, I had to find a way. I was, you know, working at a mall job, so I wasn't like you were, you know, and I went to UCF here in Orlando and got scholarships, and I worked my tail off to get those scholarships. So in the same sense, like it wasn't until recently where I was like, oh, I did that. You know, it was just kind of like I was checking boxes. I was just trying to make it happen. So one, I applaud you for stopping at 20 something and realizing that, like, I can do whatever I want. Because so many of us are on this checklist journey where it's like one thing, we have to just accomplish the next thing. And so that's admirable in that sense, that you were able to do that and realize that that was your foundation and that here your confidence stays here from now on, moving forward.
But again, Matt, it's because I was previously lacking confidence. And that's what gave me the motivation. Maybe motivation is not the right word. That's what helped me realize how significant that accomplishment was, because in my childhood years, I lacked confidence. So when I did accomplish that, I was able to realize that, you know, there's no reason to lack confidence. You know, there's every reason in the world to be confident in, you know, your abilities, your potential, and go after it.
So on that note, is there something that if this was a possibility in the world that you could go back to 7-year-old Bernie that was just not confident doing anything and tell him something that would help. Is there anything you would say to him?
I think what I think about in that season of life is, as much as I love my parents and they were wonderful parents, what they were not is they were not like a mentor. They were parents. So I guess what I'd say to that younger self is try to find a mentor. And I did eventually find a mentor, but I was a little older. I was probably in the 18 or 19 age range. His name is Tony. I've lost touch with him. That was many, many decades ago. But I remember Tony, and he was part of the, you know, like, hey, Bernie, you want to go to, you know, college or Pace University or whatever it was, like, then do it. Don't let anything stop you. So finding a mentor, which, by the way, is not necessarily an easy thing to do. And maybe for a 7 or 8 year old, it's not even a concept they can grasp. Whether it is or it isn't, that's the thing that I think all of humanity can benefit from, you know, is having someone who can mentor you, which it could be a parent, but it sometimes it's not. Like in my case, it wasn't.
Yeah. Or coach or a teacher or,
yeah,
you know, any of these people that are in your life that probably care about you, but you need to be open to that. You know, I like this question because I mean, I know it's not possible, but also it makes me think about like, what would me at that age want to hear, you know? And in your case, building your confidence earlier on, who knows where you'd be now? It's interesting to think about. Is there anything that you would tell someone? Would your advice to anyone be get a mentor? Is that kind of like not just young Bernie, but everyone should have that to kind of build that confidence?
So short answer is yes, Matt, but not necessarily just one mentor. You can have multiple mentors in different areas of your life. You can have a mentor that's maybe, you know, helping you with your health or your fitness. You can have a mentor in your career. You can have a mentor that's, you know, coaching or guiding you, mentoring you in relationships or family or marriage or, you know, whatever it is. But again, finding them is not easy for everyone. You know, you can't just wake up one day, okay, I'm going to get a mentor this week. You know, because a mentor needs to be a relationship. It's not someone you just say, hey, will you be my mentor? You know, it just doesn't work that way.
That might be how the conversation starts.
Well, but even at that, that can be awkward, you know? That can be the old, you know, marriage proposal on a first date kind of a thing, mentor or metaphor, you know, and even to this day, you know, whether it's mentors or people that I really respect and I listen to, I welcome those conversations. And honestly, Matt, this takes me full circle in this conversation to one of the reasons that I enjoy my podcast, which I think, you know, is the same with you, is that these conversations are just so enriching and so eye-opening and, you know, just hit me deep in the soul, you know? So while it's not necessarily a mentor relationship per se, it is still a way to have meaningful conversation, just like the episode that I did with you on my podcast that gave me that opportunity to realize like, hey, self-discovery, that's my takeaway from Matt's story. And I've got my own self-discovery story, and I think we all do, right? And so that's what I get from my podcast, and I think you get something similar from your podcast, and pretty cool thing.
I think that we need to just talk more. People, humans, we're all going through this. We're all trying to do the same thing. We're all trying to exist and enjoy the things that we have and the people around us. And I think these conversations that you have on your podcast and the things that I have on the Life Shift podcast are needed. And whether we hear from the people that listen or not, I think we're impacting others in a positive way. So I appreciate you taking the time to be a part of the Life Shift podcast and trusting me with your story. It is an honor to have you here.
Thank you, Matt. Back at you. Thank you for having me on your Life Shift podcast, and thank you for being on my Midlife Fulfill podcast.
Of course. And if you are listening and you are enjoying the podcast, please take the time to give a 5-star review and or 5-star rating, I should say, and a review. I know Bernie probably likes those too. So check out the Midlife Fulfilled podcast and do the same for him. And we will see you next week on the Life Shift podcast. For more information, please visit www.thelifeshiftpodcast.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.